100 Word Stories.
Hi there, this is Lawrence Simon. I swore that I would write a 100 word story every day until the day I die. It's right up there on the domain name, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. I'm not dead yet, so let's have another story. In fact, let's have a whole bunch of stories, because this is the weekly challenge where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. The topic this week was, well, pick a number, any number. I asked you to pick a number and then write a story about it. Fun, huh? Well, let's see who bellied up to the bar and has a story to tell. First up, it's Thomas from Squim, Squimbabwe. Do you know how to spell Squim? Look it up. It's kind of cool. There's a story behind it. But he's not going to tell the story this time. He's got a few others. Maybe you'll learn something. I did.
I enjoy working with numbers in my head. It keeps my brain fresh and young. I listen to the Canadian FM stations, living just 26 miles from Victoria, just on the south side of the strait. All the morning's weather is announced in centigrade, so I have to convert to Fahrenheit to get the temperature. It's easy. For example, if they say +4, I multiply by 8 to get 80% of 4. I add that to 4, that's 3.2 plus 4 equals 7.2. Then I add 32 to get an approximate temperature in Fahrenheit, 39.2. The actual conversion is 39.4, but it's close. His personal utensil got number and number. He had done an experiment with the pills found in his uncle's medicine cabinet, mixing them with morning coffee and Bailey's Irish cream. He was assured it would wear off, but it was no guarantee he would find himself recovering fully. He thought that the pills would provide 4 or 5 hours of full inflation, so his afternoon with Veronica would be more adventuresome and delightful. Silly is as silly does. The condition didn't go away for 2 weeks, and he was too embarrassed to seek medical help or go out into public. Numbers. Check out numbers in the Bible. See where numbers are mentioned, or look up Bible numerology on Google. If you believe that numbers can reveal the future or uncover mystical intelligence, you are delving into the dangerous realm of divination and the occult. Your family and friends might not like this, and folks at the coffee house might find this discommodious. Waving crystals over your croissant, carving profane characters into the tabletop, and only eating bagels if the decoding of the sesame seeds on the pastry add up to a prime number might be troubling to those nearby. She had my numbers, all of them. I couldn't get a thing by her. She knew when I was watering down the liquor in the cherry wood cabinet in the dining room, and she could smell cigarettes on my breath from 50 feet away. My dear old mother was a wise, fair, and diligent detective, unflaggingly protecting me from death, disease, and early detention. Mom was a nurse and worked with nurses and doctors in the operating room. She heard outlandish jokes from the docs and brought stories home to share with Dad and her number one son over supper.
Thank you, Thomas. Next up, we have Explorer. Yep, she's back with her explorations. What has she come up with this time? I don't know. I haven't played the story yet. Once I play the story, then I'll know. I'll know when you know. I mean, come on, you can't push me like that. No pushing. No shoving. No. That's... especially while you're driving. Because then you'll have to stay on your side of the car.
Numbers by Helen R. Starr. I'm just another number in the world. The first set of numbers are given to you the day you're born. The second set of numbers you receive in life is your Social Security number, a 9-digit number you share. Because you're part of the calculated algorithm system shared electronically everywhere. Click. Sending. Coming in at number one is awesome. But if you're second or third, you're mediocre. However, women and men that score a 10 in looks are equivalent to a number one. Really? Therefore, no matter what your numbers are in life, you're always a number one. Thank you.
Yay, we're all number one. Whee! Wait, then who is number... No. I get confused. What was that in The Prisoner? No one knew who number one was. I guess we are number one. The Prisoner was looking for us. We control the island. Oh, thank you, Explorer. Just... I haven't had my coffee yet. Instead, I've got tea with the last of the blueberry syrup. I need to order more. I've got some at work. I could smuggle it in my pants. Tinny?
Yeah, you're sleeping.
Tinny is... If you have a sentence and you just had Tinny is and then a blank, just put sleeping there.
Yeah, you have had a rough week.
Okay, next up, it's Jeffrey. Ooh, this is gonna be creepy. Wait. No, hold on. Not creepy. Okay, I just read it. Here, yeah, let me share it with you.
Hello, podcast listeners. It's Jeffrey Fisher here with two stories on numbers. Showing how my mind sometimes goes in unexpected directions, when I heard that the challenge word was numbers, I took that quite literally. So, rather than stories about specific numbers, mine are about two uses of the word numbers. Ah, well. The first story is called The Singer. Steve nodded his head in time to the music as the intro kicked in. The last number of his set was a catchy, upbeat tune, designed to send the customers away happy, humming the melody as they filled the aisles. After 15 years in the business, though, Steve no longer left the stage happy. Night after night, in one small room after another in cheap Vegas hotels, Steve sang numbers made famous by the Rat Pack and dreamed of performing his own songs to appreciative crowds. Year by year, his optimism waned as his dream faded. He gripped the microphone stand and hit the first notes, an upbeat tune, but a sad song. My second story is called 16 Numbers. Barbara handed the cashier her Discover card. She looked down at the meager collection of groceries and household items, knowing they had to last until payday, and that that would be a stretch. Even then, she wasn't sure how she would make the minimum payment on the card, but that was a worry for another day. The items weren't quite hers yet, though, were they? One more hurdle remained, often the trickiest one. Sending those 16 precious digits through the wires, praying for the word accepted to appear on the cashier's screen. Barbara closed her eyes and crossed her fingers.
Thank you, Jeffrey. So, I've got a question. All right, first, this dude that shot up all the kids in Sandy Hook, this Adam kid, although he's not really a kid since he was 20, right? So he's not a kid. Just a fucked up adult. Okay, so he kills his mom, but no one's mentioning her as a victim, because they say 26 victims, but she died too, so... obviously not, you know, for some reason people are saying not a victim, you know, it just, you know, maybe, you know, she fell on his gun and it went off. But, okay, so everyone has all this no hate, no bullying campaign for a year and all bullies are evil and bully the bullies. Why aren't the newspapers outing all the people who bullied this nutcase, this shooting dude? Why aren't people outing them and attacking them? Instead, they're all saying, you know, ban the guns. I don't know. I want to know who was bullying him. All you no hate, no bullying folks, why aren't they being brought to justice? Someone explain that to me? I don't know. Oh, wait, that's looking for root causes of a problem, and we can't do that. We have to, you know, superficially resolve things and pass pointless stuff. You know, those 50 caliber guns, all those killings have been done with them for the past year. Oh, wait, no one's been killed with them. But we, you know, all the handguns in Chicago for the game, don't look at that. You're being racist. Sorry. I haven't had my coffee yet. Have you? Thinking about going and seeing Oblivion, you know, because Tom Cruise hasn't sprinted enough. Speaking of sprinting, let's sprint over to Richard before I stick all of my feet in my mouth. He's got stories. If you haven't hit stop and... Ah, what's he doing this week? Oh, sorry. Here's Richard.
Hi, everybody. It's me again. You haven't got rid of me just yet. Here's my first story for this week, based on the prompt of number. And this one is called 3.142. Never trust a mathematician. Oh, they seem so self-assured and smug with their proofs and constants. Numbers never lie, they say. It must be you who are wrong. Well, I'm telling you. They're a bunch of charlatans and deceivers, every last one of them. Pi, they will tell you, is a wonderful number. It holds the secrets of the circle and is perfect in every way. Nonsense. I've studied Greek, and I'll tell you something for nothing. Pi is not a number. It's a letter. A letter, I tell you, and that is simple truth. And incontrovertible fact. Oh, right. A little bit carried away there. This one is called I Called. I found your number in an old address book. In that moment, I was transported back through the years to those happy times we shared together. I remembered the laughter in your voice and the way your eyes sparkled when you smiled. I remembered how we made our plans for the future and dreamed of possibilities untold. I remembered the promises we made. But that was long ago. And I dared to hope that time might heal all things. With trembling hands and pounding heart, I took the plunge, picked up the phone and dialed. But just like our lives, disconnected. Okay, just one more story this week. Let's see what's going on with George. This one is called Disturbance. George awoke. Something had disturbed him. Eyes straining in the grey light of dawn, he withdrew into the shadows, listening intently. There it was again, a clatter from the recesses of the kitchen. Steeling himself, he felt the reassuring weight of a cleaver in his hand and crept towards the source of the disturbance. "Who's there?" he shouted in a cracked, high-pitched voice, to be rewarded with an angry yowl and a streak of tawny fur dashing between his feet. He sank to the ground. "A damn cat, George," he giggled nervously. "And you thought your number was up." That's all, folks. See you next week.
Thank you, Richard. Keep on trucking. If you don't have a truck, well, you rent one. Or get a hand truck or something. I don't know. Little matchbox truck. I'm trucking with a little matchbox truck. stick it in your pocket, and then I wonder how many times the TSA pulls matchbox cars out of people's pockets, and they're like, what are you doing with matchbox car? I've had this since I was a child. I was told to keep on trucking, and look, it's a truck. Whee! What do you need it on the plane for? It's my good luck truck. I'm going to take it away from you because I'm a bully. You see? Those people are bullies. And yet we accede to them. We take off our shoes, and all it is a government-sanctioned bullying. Does it make you feel secure that they're taking away your spear guns? I want my spear gun and my matchbox car. Dora, I'm really losing it this week. Can you help me, please?
This story is called Pascal's Mugging. Give me a dollar, mumbled a shabby old man. Why? I asked. I will give you the entire universe, now and forever, he replied. Right, I said. If it's yours to give, why are you selling it for a dollar? Good point, he grunted. But is it good enough? Do the numbers. What's the probability that you're wrong? Multiply that by the payoff. If that comes to more than a dollar, make the bet. And that's how I became owner of the universe. But I'll sell it to you for $2. The numbers say I have to make a profit.
Thank you, Tora. I feel much better now. I feel like I could take on a whole army of troubles. In fact, an army of... Oh, great. Is it damned or darkness? It's one of the two. I never remember. I should probably turn the volume down on this. Hold on. There we go. Input volume. Lowered it a little. Now the spikes are okay. Am I going to go back and re-record? Hell no. That takes effort. Muncie, lead us on.
Greetings, my army of the damned. Muncie here to see how you've done. As you may recall, last week I instructed you to burn this world to the ground, and now, a week later, the time has come to follow up on that. So look, really look deep at yourself, and ask, what have I done to burn this world to the ground? Has it been enough? Could I have done more? And then, in this light of self-reflection, get out there and live fuller, richer lives, your world burning improved by improved self-knowledge. No need to thank me. The knowledge that I've improved your lives is all the thanks I need. That, and the burned-out husk of what once was a world. Story time! Numbers, by Christopher Monroe. 1 is the loneliest number. But it shouldn't be. After appearing in a popular song, it could make some friends. Hotels have no floor number 13, but they do have 13th floors. The one above the 12th is the 13th, no matter what you call it. That's how counting works. When asked to choose a number between 1 and 10, I choose pi, because I'm a smartass. These are things I know about numbers, and they're all true. But, right now, the only important number is 100. That's the number I need, the number I strive for. There we go. Broken Escalator, still available in ebook and podcast, tweets at Munzee Munzee. Also, my story, Saying Goodbye, has been produced for the Doonstief Audio Fiction magazine, and they've done an incredible job of the production. So I would definitely urge you to check that out. There are really cool fiction casts that you'd enjoy anyway, and this week they happen to feature me musing on the nature of my own mortality. But in a fun way. Check it out, my army of the damned. Check it out.
Oh, come on, that's a cop-out. No, really. Going for the 100 words. Oh, I was worried more people would do it. But thank goodness, only you, Mr. Smartass. Burning the world to the ground. Thank you, Muncie. Well, what, and you know, there's an army of the damned. What about Navy of the Damned? What about Air Force of the Damned? The Marines of the Damned? The Coast Guard of the Damned? You never hear about them. Well, okay, the Navy would be like, because they'd be drowning. Air Force, they're flying, hurled out of a cannon or a trebuchet. Maybe I should write that. Maybe I should just play Tom's story before I say anything more stupid. Here's Tom.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is called Imaginary Numbers Aren't. Don't ask me why, but I got hooked on the television show Numbers. Watched 18 in a row in the DVD Netflix age. It isn't uncommon for someone to do a loss weekend or watch The Sopranos till your eyes bleed, since I'm a bit slow on the uptake. I failed to note the underlying formulaic nature of the show. Yep, it took me 5 Tom Swift novels to realize it was always the same novel. Same thing happened after The Knife and James Patterson. In spite of the plot rehashing, Numbers did an amazing job of highlighting rather lofty mathematical concepts.
It's all a formula. It's a delicious formula. It's the secret formula of Coca-Cola, the secret recipe of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, wait, KFC. Thank you, Tom, for reading. I should re-record that. Tinny, what do you think? Tinny is asleep. See, I should create a domain. Tinny is asleep. Little rat. Next up, serendipity. We've had recordings all the way through here. I haven't had to read anybody's story. I like that. I like that a lot. Because it means I have to actually read and interpret and go back and do it again when I screw it up. Oh, well, oh, I'm supposed to hit play.
Dispatch, we have a 911. On Rodney and Rose. See surplus store, corner People's Drive, 124th Street.
They called him the Lottery Killer. Random victims, in seemingly random locations, and at every crime scene, lying next to the corpse, a lottery ticket for the following week's draw. Police were baffled, until the forensic team, almost accidentally, stumbled across what seemed a remarkable coincidence. The numbers on the mysterious lottery tickets appear to correspond to the map coordinates, identifying the location of each successive victim. The police acted swiftly and organized a stakeout. Sure enough, the lottery killer was apprehended at precisely the point where the last ticket said he would be. The police had hit the jackpot.
Oh, and hey, you be careful out there, Serendipity. Thank you, Serendipity. You know what I love about the show NCIS, other than the fact that people slap each other on the back of the head? Joe Spano, who was in Hill Street Blues. He's like the FBI agent that, you know, nobody's supposed to like. It's like, oh, wait, you NCIS pukes, you solve things every week and all that, but I'm the FBI and I'm going to come in and I'm going to sell it. You know, it's never like there should be an FBI procedural show with Joe Spano and then NCIS comes in and fucks things up. You know, Gibbs comes in, it's like, I'm Mr. Know-It-All. Or maybe he sends over DiNozzo and DiNozzo's acting like a ass clown. No? Okay. It was just a suggestion. You know? Could be that, who's that dude with all the tattoos on him. Danny Trejo. Now he would be awesome as a dude coming in. Hey, I'm going to screw up your cases. Throw knives. Never mind. Next up is Miata. Miata, did you hold on? Let me see. Nope, no recording. Oh well, there blows that streak.
I have always been fascinated with numbers. In numerology, 7 is the number of perfection, 8 is for new beginnings, and 3 is the number of the Trinity. Then there is the humor of numbers. 4 is the airhead. 9 is the brainiac. 6 looks pregnant. And 8 loves snow, or is very sexy, you decide. 1 isn't the loneliest number. Sometimes 2 is just as lonely, and that is heartbreaking. 5 is getting to roll over. And finally, 0 is all contained and never ending. Numbers, so much to know, so little to see.
The neighbor's dog is barking. I need to give him a gift.
Puppy Prozac.
Oh, thank you, Miata. And thank you, Robot. My laptop tells me what time it is. You know, in case I'm suddenly blinded and stumbling around and in the middle of my panicked grasping. Oh, it's 8:30. Okay. And then I go back to panic grasping. Speaking of panic grasping, how about we reach out to Cliff, Uncle Monster, whose birthday it was last week? Did you wish him a happy birthday in the comments? No, you didn't. I feel secure in saying that, because there were so few people that left comments. Now that I've forsaken this Empire Avenue silliness. So, Cliff, now that you've... How many gifts have you returned? That's what I want to know. I love returning all my birthday gifts and then just getting bubblegum. I like bubblegum.
Good morning. Here's a couple stories with the subject of numbers. The 7 warriors stood still as statues, blades drawn and waiting. The 7 demons writhed and hissed, smelling of death and decay. The demons guarded the 7 gates to the world beyond the living. In the countless years they had maintained their watch, no living person had gotten past them. The emperor had demanded that the greatest warriors in the land should go into the realm of the dead to retrieve his beloved. Hundreds were summoned. 7 responded. 7 men, brave and true, loyal to their emperor no matter how great the task set before them. They lasted 7 seconds. And here's a bonus story. When you're a kid, 50 seems ancient. When you're a teenager, 50 is a grandparent. In college, 50 is that stodgy old accounting professor that always seems to have a stain on his shirt. By the time you have kids of your own, 50 is your parents, giving advice and laughing about how grandchildren are their reward for what you put them through. 50 is always someone else. It's always been a milestone that says, here is where old begins. When 50 starts knocking on your door, though, it doesn't seem all that old. 70? Now that's old. For now.
You know, if 50 starts knocking at my door, or 70, I'm not answering. No! Stay away from my door! They'll probably come in through the window. Oh, the window. Thank you, Cliff. Who's going to take this also? Oh, Lizzie! Lizzie will take this seriously. Thank goodness. It's about time someone has. Lizzie, show them how it's done.
Hello, everyone. Here's my story for this week. There were 4 seats at the table. 3 people sat down. Where's D'Angelo? Asked Boss Number One. We can't start without him, added Boss Number Two. I thought the meeting was to solve our problems and end this ridiculous turf war, said Boss Number Three. It's a lack of respect to keep us bosses waiting. They all agreed, checking for their weapons discreetly. Silence. All of a sudden, loud sirens. The cops! That rat! The three growled while they were arrested. In the meantime, D'Angelo was enjoying the tropical sun of the Witness Protection Program. I never liked being number four, he thought. This was my story for the week, dropped by my blog at lizzygoodcuff.blogspot.com to check what I've been writing, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
I like being number four. That's me, you know? As for being, I wouldn't, if I were in the Witness Protection Program, I would never want to be somewhere tropical. I don't know why, because I want to be somewhere, I'm not too sure where I go. If I saw a killing, and it's like, okay, we got to put you away somewhere, and it's like, why? So what I would do is get everything on tape, everything deposed, and cross-examine all that. And then it doesn't matter whether they kill me or not. My testimony's in place. Well, you just lost the incentive to kill me. It's all on tape. It's all there. Why bother killing me? It's all there. Dude, you fucked up. Own it, man. Oh. Thank you, Lizzie. If Lizzie ever witnesses a killing, give her some cookies. What? Steven the Nuclear Man? Oh, he's back? Oh, cool. I like it when he's back. He makes cookies. To give it to Lizzie. If you give a mouse a cookie, it's just going to sit there. Mice prefer cheese. And who ever heard of a cheese cookie? Note to self, invent cheese cookies. Oh, here's Steven.
15 threads. 15 bright timelines stretching into the wind. 14. One disappears, a woman slips on the sidewalk. He hears the crack of bone, her sharp intake of breath before the scream, and ignores it. 13-7 in a heartbeat, he misses the causes. There could be a butterfly's wing flapping. His original timeline is brightening. Probabilities collapse, he shoves to the crowd. 5, 4. He won't be scared this time. 2 threads. John? She's there, confused. He just left. He doesn't know what will happen when the timelines switch. I love you, he says, and kisses her.
Thank you, Steven the Nuclear Man. I should give you a coupon. I'm not too sure for what. Maybe cookies. Don't give away one of my cookies. No, because, look, it's my cookies. And if you're reaching in the cookie jar to take my cookie, those aren't my cookies. There's mousetraps in there. I hide my cookies where you can't find them. And I'm not going to tell you. And if there are a whole bunch of mice standing around outside of that place where I hide my cookies, good. Good. It's all sealed up in plastic. Barbed wire. Doesn't keep the cookies any fresher. I'll tell you that. It tastes kind of stale. Are these raisins? Oh, next up, how about Zachman? He'll bring things down to a level that we can understand, I hope. I'm really losing it this week.
My father keeps urging me to take an accounting class. I tell him I don't want to take over the family business, and I can have someone else do my taxes. He tells me after enduring the fights his parents had annually from February through April, he doesn't want to do his own taxes either. So I ask if that doesn't maybe make him a little hypocritical. He informs me the CPA who does his taxes is advising him to take a basic accounting class. So when he makes a mistake on QuickBooks, he understands the explanation why.
Thank you, Zachman. Father keeps urging me to take... Okay, so take the accounting class. I think you should. It could be fun. You might meet someone. Tall, dark stranger in an alley with a baseball bat. Okay, who has the baseball bat in that sentence? You or the stranger? You see? It's called grammar. You gotta get good at it. Someone who's an excellent grammarian, I think, is Daphne, who's come back over and over now. I'm glad she's back. She had something to do in all that lockdown stuff. So here's Daphne. I hope you didn't go totally stir crazy. I did, and I'm not even there. Where's the cat?
Hi, this is Daphne Abernathy of, well, just outside of Boston. And for all those who've been paying attention, this past week has been stressful, but we're here. We're still here. We're not going anywhere. And thank you for all the concern. It's greatly appreciated. And so this is my entry for the 100-word weekly challenge story topic numbers. Hi, how are you? Did you say four? Four what? What are you doing? Now we're back to four? Seriously, what is going on? Wait a second, I think I know what's happening here. You're counting words. That's fascinating. And annoying. How good are you? If I talk for a whole minute, would you be able to tell me if I hit 100 words?
23.
Can we do this on a weekly basis? I have this story writing thing I do, and word count matters.
20.
See you next week.
4.
So, the new motto for the city is, "We're Boston, we aren't going anywhere." Yeah. I think you need to work on that. I don't know. I think you ought to be Boston. We'll hunt you down and kick your ass. How's that? No? Okay, never mind. Thank you, Daphne, and hopefully all is well. If it isn't, you can hunt it down and kick its ass. Speaking of someone who could hunt it down and kick its ass, Norval Joe. He's an ass kicker, I'll tell you. Even things that, you know, let's say that an animal doesn't have an ass, it will evolve to the point, God will evolve it to the point where it will have an ass, it'll grow an ass, and Norval Joe will kick it. So there. Uh-huh. In your face. Well, in your ass. Oh, here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll, the Army of Juan, of the Flying Island Press, and Master Macabre. And these are my stories for the weekly challenge, and I'll see if I can get it right this time. 365, with a prompt of numbers. Here are my stories. In a clearing in the rainforest, Boral relaxed on a cot, while Flirty counted specimens from the hollow docks taken at the river. 27, 28, 29. Species 13B has 29 specimens per cubic meter of water, compared to specimen 13A, which only has 17, Flirty said into the voice recorder. Why not let the computer count and compare them for you? Boral asked. Where would be the fun? Flirty began, but stopped when he looked up. They were surrounded by red-haired, freckled native warriors wearing only loincloths. All were women, and each aimed a wickedly sharp spear at them. Story number 2. Durgal stared at the officer without moving, hardly breathing. Officer Farkflace flipped pages in his notebook while Durgal vacillated. He closed the notebook and said, Mr. Dunderspawn, you implied you wanted a lawyer. Are you going to call one? Durgle made a face like he'd eaten something sour, but said nothing. If you don't have a lawyer, I can give you numbers. They're all dependable. Will they feed my dogs? Durgle mumbled, turning his eyes to the floor. Lawyers advise you. They don't feed dogs, Farkflay said. Durgle shook his head. If you arrest me, someone needs to feed them. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
No, it's not 365. It's, 7. No, it's really 365. You're right. Thank you, Norval Joe. Just, all right. Oh, boy. Danny's gone off the rails. Here we go. This is going to be fun. Just, he shares this sentiment with a lot of people. Yeah. Okay, soapbox time.
Hello, hello. It's Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 365. Numbers. The weakest gun control bill in the history of the world failed in the Senate this week. They just didn't have the numbers. Despite the majority of Americans who actually want background checks for all gun purchasers. Oh, that would be an infringement on our freedoms, our founding fathers never intended, the senator said. Then they laughed, saying, what difference does it make? Our supporters have all the money. We can say screw America all we want. Then the next election cycle came up. All the senators who voted against the bill lost their seats. Hey, it's all in the numbers.
Preach on, Brother Danny. Preach on. But Washington won't hear any of us. No. No, they won't. Am I the only person that says that Todd Beamer didn't do the country any favors when he kept that plane from wiping Congress off the map? Am I the only one? Oh, no, his target would have been the White House. No. Well, as if Todd Beamer's target was. You see, bad grammar. No, why would they drop a plane on the White House when Bush was in Florida? No, they would have taken out Congress. I mean, they weren't that stupid. I mean, they were evil, but, you know, evil doesn't necessarily mean dumb. Unless you're Mugatu, then piano. I don't know where the hell I'm going with this. I should just stop. Instead, I'm gonna read Justin's story. Thank you for recording, Justin. You know, I say in all the promos, if you can't record, you know, someone will do it for you. I'll do it for you, but it doesn't mean I have to like it. Grumbly and grouchy this week. I don't know why. Same week as ever. I mean, I barely remember all the craziness of last week. And there's a craziness of next week that's going to come. So that's what this little island respite of weekend is for. Ooh. Ones and zeros. Clusters of information. All moving across the grid. Inside the grid, I have a disc to fight with, and a light cycle to ride on. There is an enemy, a contagion, a virus, a digitized hacker, the data wraiths. They must be defeated, and in the fight to do so, their code and wares mingle with my systems, corroding them, corrupting my programs and files, slowing me down. It's hard to remember to clean the system. Run the antivirus programs when the fighting is fierce, and I nearly was derezzed from pure forgetfulness. You'd think antivirus would run automatically. Ah, thank you, Justin, and to remind everyone, update your antivirus software, back up your files, and Put on your pants. You can put them on your head. I don't care. You'll look like that Jar Jar Binks. Then you'll really want to put your pants on right. Actually, I'm not wearing any pants. Woke up. Shorts and t-shirt. You know? No coffee, though. Grr. Okay, every time I look at the little bar on this MacBook Pro, I see the little time machine icon, and it's like, is it going to start spinning? Is it? No, it's not, because that thing is linked to my work backup drive, even though I've got a backup drive at home for my stuff. So, I'm supposed to work on a document in a bit. Yeah, gotta get it done. I want to make sure it's right. Then I can, you know, as soon as I walk into work. Ah, ha, ha, ha! Elves worked on this! Did you work over the weekend? No. It was the elves. Look, and they left shoes. I'm supposed to work over the weekend. Why do I have a laptop? I like to work. It's fun. I like stringing words together. I've been doing that for how many years? Just, now I can get paid for it. And I don't want to be paid for these. No, I want to get paid for the ones that I get paid for. These are for fun. I'm doing this for fun, damn it. Can't you tell? Someone who has a lot of fun with words is Singh. Let's listen to him, shall we?
Я не террорист. Я борец за свободу.
Emergency rings 101 in Argentina, Belarus, Israel, India. Hello, hello, why can't I get through? Longest highway, Route 101, you're calling too. But this is a metaphor. And I'm not an American. All right, I'll offer 101 sugar ball bribes to Krishna. I'm a hotline cube jumper. Please, don't send us back to the torture room in 1984. I know that story because more 101 ways are in print than 100 whatever's typed with 101 keyboards, the IBM standard. I'll love you from both sides, punching strobogrammatic primes on my calculator, happily enrolled in Life 101. Class starts at sunup.
Cool. I love it when he does these soundscape stuff. It pulls you in. It's like those Radiolab folks, only story-ish. Oh, wait, Denny's stretching. And watching her. And I'm going to go back to sleeps. That's not a good sleeping position. Up there. Okay, keel over. All right. And tuck it in. She is one weird-looking cat. All splotchy and swirly and stripes, kind of, well, they aren't really stripes. It's mirrors and stuff. Kind of a surreal cat. Sometimes I call her, I should have called her Scribble. After that Microsoft Office cat, the thing. Most people had the paperclip. Yeah, whatever. You know you could change that, right? Dumbasses. Oh, thank you, Singh. Next up is Red Goddess. Yeah, I gotta read it. All right, here we go. I'm just... Jeez. Let's find out how Lola's doing. There are days when the hotel is populated with more staff than guests. On Sunday mornings, everyone sleeps late until brunch is served. Lola takes those rare moments to soak in the environment and remember old favorite guests. Before she could finish her thoughts, she heard chuckling coming from the front door. Their doorman and the valet guy are chatting loudly. The doorman has been in the hospital for weeks since he was shot, feet away from the hotel. The first words out of his mouth, "Does the devil still live here?" "Which one?" Lola asked jokingly. He's a hard-working man with loads of worries, but he's always in good spirit. His number was almost up, but finds the courage to open doors for strangers like nothing ever happened. "Thank you, Lola. One day..." Wait, what am I saying? No, thank you, Red Goddess. "Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Tinny, for not being a crazy pain in the ass. What are you sucking on your tail for, you weirdo?" This cat. You know, we're supposed to... they took little skin tests to see if it's an allergic reaction that she has. That makes her clean all over. She's probably allergic to herself. Great. Oh, what's next? Oh, just Planet Z, that's all. We're almost at the end. Don't worry, we can wrap this up. In fact, here we go. Planet Z.
Everybody says that Neo is the one. Except Neo. He denies it completely. Even to me, his bartender. "Dude," I tell him, "you can stop bullets in midair, change the matrix like an agent through sheer will, and you can fly. Only one guy can do that. The one." He just stares at me. And he shakes his head. "I'm not the one." We keep this up all night, until its last call. I throw a glass at him, and he stops it in midair. "Okay, you got me," says Neo. "I'm the one." "Good," I say, smiling. "Here's his tab."
And that's it for this week, Weekly Challenge 365, on the topic of Pick a Number, Any Number. You can check out the text of the stories and blah, 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 and all that stuff up at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Leave comments and whatever and things and stuff. And... oh, the next topic? Journal. There you go. Exciting, huh? I'm just going to sit here. Staring at a cat. Asleep in a chair across the table from me. Are you going to make a move? Huh? I paid for the chessboard for a reason, you know. You're supposed to engage your cats in play. Thank you to everyone who was a part of it this week, and all of you for listening. And I'll see you next week. Until then, keep it brief.